Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of my new spiritual warfare series. This session is called Maturity Through Warfare. Spiritual warfare is a reality, whether we think so or not. It affects us, whether we acknowledge it or not. We are in the battle, whether we are actively fighting or passively hiding our heads in the sand. We see it clearly played out in the Bible in the lives of kings and prophets. We have a clear reference to it in the book of Daniel, when that prophet was told by an angel that his prayers for Israel's restoration to the land were heard immediately, but an evil spirit hindered the response from getting to him. I'll read here from Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. That's the New American Standard Bible. Jesus told a parable about kings going to war and the need for his followers to count the cost of entering the warfare involved with being his disciple. This is found in Luke 14:31 through 32. Paul wrote about our warfare in greater depth in his letter to the Ephesians. I'll read a couple of verses here, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That's also the New American Standard Bible. Satan managed to seduce one-third of the angels to follow him into death and destruction. Then he came after Adam and Eve, who were created to co-rule with God. Since our first parents were able to reproduce or co-create, Satan took down the entire line of descendants in one fell swoop. Since then, every one of us is born into this world marred by a sinful proclivity to live in isolation from God, the source of all life and happiness. By doing this, our adversary negatively affected creation in general. Romans 8, 19 and 22 records these amazing words. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. New American Standard Bible. This shows us how significant man is in God's economy. The physical creation was made for man's benefit and is connected to our existence. It was meant to bless us, but when we sinned, part of God's just sentence was for the creation to cease to function as originally intended. God could have left us to our own devices, but according to Paul, love never gives up. 1 Corinthians 13:7. God did not give up on us. He sent his son. We probably understand why Jesus had to fight to obtain our release from Satan's despotic rule. Just as the Egyptian Pharaoh refused to release the Israelites from slavery until he was forced by God's mighty hand, Satan would not let us go until he was forced to do so by the resurrection of Jesus as Lord of Lords. Our Savior recaptured the authority Adam had ceded to Satan, undid the sentence of death upon the entire human race, reconciled us to God the Father, and made us children of God, heirs together of Christ's glorious riches and honor. Colossians 2:13 through 15 records this: you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's the New Living Translation. Perhaps it is less obvious why we born-again children of God must continue the struggle after Christ's magnificent resurrection sealed the victory. To get a better understanding of why, we should consider that God's purpose in redeeming us was to elevate us to his throne as his mature sons and daughters, to allow us to share in his glory. Romans 8:29 through 30 captures this thought. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. New American Standard Bible. I think few of us have come to realize just how great an honor it is to be God's son or daughter. By sending Jesus, the eternal Logos who became a man, to die and rise again, God made it possible for those who put their trust and allegiance in him to become one with him through the indwelling Holy Spirit. This means that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing there is because we are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. This means that we sit with Christ at God's right hand. Colossians 3:1 and Ephesians 2:6. This means that what King David wrote so long ago is absolutely true. This is from Psalm 8:4-5. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. New American Standard Bible. Satan absolutely hates us because God graciously gave to us what he tried to take for himself, the throne of God. Of course, we are not divine, even though we are indwelled by God. This is part of the mystery. God's glory inhabits what the Bible calls earthen vessels. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." New American Standard Bible. Even the angels who are greater in strength and power have been assigned to serve us. Hebrews 1:14. Taking all this into account, it becomes clearer why God requires us to grow in maturity as we prepare to take our place at his side. Since we are destined for the throne, we must learn to govern and rule, and that takes that involves learning to gain victory through spiritual warfare over the enemies of God through the authority of Christ and His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. God promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua, and all Israel that He would give them the promised land. But that did not mean that they would be able to simply walk in to take it over without a fight. Going to war is part of what God uses to bring us to maturity. Judges 3, 1 and 2 records, Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. New American Standard Bible. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites fought to obtain their promised possession, they experienced God's help. It takes faith to go into battle. It is only after we enter the fray that we experience God's coming alongside us to ensure victory. In the last analysis, the battle is the Lord's, but we are privileged to participate in the victory. What we learn about God in the process is part of what will prepare us for reigning with Christ. David wrote these words in Psalm 24, 8 through 10. He said, Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up, ancient gates, open up, ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory. New Living Translation. If God simply handed everything to us without a struggle, we would never grow up. Every good parent knows this. That is why we require children to learn to do things for themselves. When my kids were younger, I taught them to file their own taxes, change their own oil, drive a stick shift, etc. If we had lived on the frontier back in the 1700s, I would have shown them how to fight too, because it would have been a necessity. Learning spiritual warfare is just such a necessity, and God is a loving Father who teaches us to fight a good fight, just as He taught King David. Psalm 144, 1 and 2 says, Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness, my fortress, my stronghold, and my deliverer, my shield, and in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Paul admonished Timothy to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. New American Standard Bible. Thankfully, those words to Timothy were recorded and passed down to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Satan is riled up, knowing that his time is short. Deception floods the earth. This is the time for God's people to arise and enter the fray in the power of God's might, knowing that victory is assured as we do our part. Now I will close with this promise from Paul. This is from Romans 16:20, the New American Standard Bible. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen, and thank you for listening.